Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here with us as well. Texans won a football game. Lots to get to today. Lots happening. Astros, no playoffs for the first time in seems like forever. Rockets are doing media things. And the Houston Texans have won a football game for the first time of the year. Always fun to win. How about that, Joe? How about how about them Texans?
Hey,
that doesn't really roll off the tongue very well.
How about them Texans? Defense was good. Offense was good for a quarter. But at least they're back in the win column. That feels nice. It's much better to have a victory Monday than a 0-4 start to the season.
Yeah, I haven't heard this song in a while. Forgot that it was our song. No, it is good. What is your biggest takeaway from this? Like, 6-0 at the half, could have been 6-6. Took a little while to get the offense to, you know, get going. But you do win convincingly. You dominate the Titans. They're calling for their head coach to get fired. They were calling for him to get fired before the game. But there's good here, right?
There is good. Like, I feel encouraged by the fact that the Texans won a football game. It feels, I mean, it's been since last year that's happened. That's a positive, but I struggle to feel excited or encouraged because of the way the game went for the first three quarters. Like, it's hard for me to watch this game. Like, yes, the Texans are back. They're on the right track. Like, yes, they played good football in the fourth quarter, and we saw them get into the red zone and execute, but my biggest takeaway is I don't really feel that much different, to be honest with you, about how I felt about this team on Friday, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm about there, too. Like, at the same time, I don't want to poo-poo the win. Like, this is the NFL, and the NFL is hard to win games. The Titans might be the worst team in the NFL, so I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth there a little bit. At the same time, it's not that easy to blow out a team 26-0, even if they're the worst team in the NFL. It's the first shutout the Houston Texans have had since 2010, which was the Courtland Finnegan game, if you want to go way back. So, like, you can't ignore that. Like, you have to give that the credence that it deserves, I think. So, the defense was dominant, and I give them their kudos, even though they're playing maybe the worst team in the NFL with a rookie quarterback, and their offense is in shambles, and their head coach gave up the play-calling duty. I get all of that. But you dominated them. You absolutely dominated. You outgained them by nearly 200 yards in this game. So I do want to tip my cap to the Texans, who were 0-3. Nick Kaley Weiss. Like, we were wondering if he could get fired before he went into the bye. Where is C.J. Stroud in his third year of his NFL career? Is he trending downwards? So at least they righted the ship for the moment. Now, I think you can have the remainder of that conversation, but that's where I'm at, that you were able to stabilize the ship for at least a moment.
I do agree with that. I just think I would totally feel that way if the – gosh, I don't know if this is if it's like nitpicking. If the points would have been spread out a little bit, like if they would have scored in the first through the third quarter and gotten in the end zone at that point, not just, you know, two field goals or and then a missed field goal. Like if they would have executed throughout the entire game, I think to the defensive point, you're totally right. I mean, look, it is an NFL team. Cam Ward is obviously, you know, well, he said it. They're booty cheeks. They're not good. They're not a good football team. But it is to shut out a team in the NFL. It's not something that's easy to do. Again, 2010, like you said, the last time the Texans did it. So that is an accomplishment. The defense performed to every expectation and I think beyond in this game. The fact that the Titans only had two drives of more than five plays in this entire game. That is an accomplishment in itself. It doesn't matter that it's Cam Ward, it's the Titans. To shut a team down that drastically is impressive. So I'm with you there. I don't want to take away from the win. And again, CJ did look much better in the fourth quarter, as the offense as a whole. But even then, with all that being said, like I still find myself, why is it taking this long to get Woody Marks involved in the game plan like they did? You know, the adjustment that C.J. Stroud apparently made with the play call to get the ball to Jaden Higgins is very positive. But where has that stuff been for 3 weeks? So to almost it almost reinforces my frustrations with this team through the first handful of games. We did see them execute things that we thought they could throughout the entire year.
Yeah. So, like, all that said, like, hey, yay, Texans won. They're on the right track. Maybe they can beat a depleted Baltimore team that might be without Lamar Jackson. We'll see. Their defense is banged up. Like, they're missing six or seven starters that will not play. So the Texans have a chance of being a road favorite at Baltimore if Lamar doesn't play. Like, do you think that – do you agree? Like, if Cooper Rush is named the starter – when the line, because the line hasn't come out because Vegas is waiting to see the Baltimore injuries. Harbaugh talked on it today. And it's like, yeah, you know, he would have played if he was able, but he wasn't able. If Lamar's out, the Texans could be a 1-3 road favorite.
I think they should be because you have the best defense in the NFL right now in terms of points allowed per game, and you're facing Cooper Rush. I think they absolutely should be the favorite in that game. Derrick Henry hasn't looked like Derrick Henry of last year and previous years. It's been a little bit of a slower start this year for him. Their weapons have been okay. Zay Flowers has had a pretty good season. DeAndre Hopkins has some nice moments. But even with Isaiah Likely, you know, returning, it sounds like, this weekend, I would assume they're the favorite. I mean, they just lost Roquan Smith. On the defensive side, the Texans would absolutely be favorites if Cooper Rush is the starting quarterback this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, they were without six starters on the defensive side of the ball yesterday.
Yikes.
And they're gonna be even more shorthanded, especially if Lamar's out. So like that's gonna be fun to monitor throughout the week. But look, step in the right direction. You at least stabilize the ship. Things are trending upwards. How you know what degree of that angle upwards is up to you and up to interpretation. The other side though, like in the other hand, they didn't really build that trust with me. And that's kind of, I think, where you're at. Like, do I trust Nick Haley-Weiss any more today than I did on Saturday? No, I really don't. I do trust C.J. Stroud a little bit more today than I did on Saturday. I do trust Woody Marks a little bit more than whoever was playing running back for the Texans, like, Saturday, if we were projecting it. Some of the rookies did some good things, but I still don't trust this team. And that's kind of where I'm at with, like, any positions of power, whether, like, any authoritarian power, talking strictly sports here. Like, general manager, head coach, all of that. My litmus test for them is if I trust them. Like, do I trust them? And then secondly, can I do better? But in this case, there's no one else out there. So, like, do you trust D'Amico Ryans? Do you trust Nick Haley? Do you trust the Houston Texans? And talking specifically on the offensive side of the ball, the answer for me is no. Like, I didn't gain any trust from Nick Haley after that performance yesterday, even though you blew him out, and that's, you know, typically cap in an NFL game, even though you dominate him in pretty much every statistical category, do you trust Nick Haley going forward? My answer is still a pretty overwhelming no.
No, it's definitely an overwhelming no. I think the only person you can definitively say you trust on the Houston Texans offense right now is still Nico Collins. Like, while CJ, I think, you know, last week I agree with you. I think the tape speaks better for itself than the actual, you know, stats would say in the Jacksonville game. This week, again, a step in the right direction. I think the way you put it with the arrow pointing up, how up is it pointing, is fair for CJ as well. But no, Nico to me is the only guy I trust that is involved within the Houston Texans offense. And that starts at Nick Caserio, and that works all of its way down to the offensive line. Do I trust Ed Ingram? Like, besides that one play, like, maybe Ed Ingram is the only other
that
guy?
That wasn't Ingram's fault.
No, that was the center's
Some
fault.
People on Twitter were trying to say it was Ingram's fault. No, I don't even think it was the center's fault. I think it was the design play that was timed poorly.
100%.
Who was the color guy on that game? Ross Tucker?
Yeah.
Like, Ross Tucker said that they were trying to wham him, which is you're bringing the tight end in motion, and he's supposed to be timed perfectly to where you wham Jeffrey Simmons, which should you be doing that with Jeffrey Simmons? I think it's a very valid question. Should you be whamming Jeffrey Simmons? I didn't see him try it again after Jeffrey Simmons had the fastest sack in the last 2 years in just over 2 seconds from the moment of snapping until C.J. Stroud went down. So I trust Ed Ingram to that question, Joe.
I mean, I think he's the highest graded guard in the NFL right now, according to Pro Football Focus. So
I would trust Nico. I would trust Nico. The rookies, I don't know if they trust him, so how can I? Kirk's been kind of meh. I know it's been two games, but whatever. Offensive line, Ingram for sure. Can you trust Howard?
I think so. I think you can.
Close?
I think he's – it's a low bar of trust for the Houston Texans.
I think he's close.
I think he falls above the bar.
Yeah. I mean, I trust Stroud. Maybe I'm being a homer there, although Stroud played really well yesterday. Yes, the worst defense in the NFL, worst team in the NFL. I thought Stroud was good yesterday, and we'll get to some C.J. Stroud a little bit later. Do you trust Woody?
Yeah, that feels like a big leap, but I think the answer might be yes, Jeremy.
Could he be this year's Bucky Irving? He, slow down, Branham. Slow down.
But he
looked good.
He looks good running the ball, pass blocking. We talked about that from the very first game of the season with how bad Dari was back there. He's put better film on tape from pass blocking. I think Woody Marks, you can make the argument that you trust him already. I think it might be I think it's a little premature to say he's like fully in the trust tree for the Houston Texans offense, but he's right there if he's not there already.
Yeah, Alex on the Twitch is saying baby steps. That's kind of what it was. It was a baby step. It wasn't a full step. It wasn't like one giant leap. It wasn't any of that. It was a baby step. Like, okay, maybe we can add up all these baby steps and maybe you can get to a leap by like week 10. But a baby step yesterday in the second half.
Honestly, like I think if anything, it's like when like your kid like stood up for the first time by himself. Like that might be the step that they took. Like, hey, he's standing. That's what the step was in yesterday's game. They're not walking yet.
To your point, the defense. Up. I mean, you do have to. I mean, the defense has been very good. Statistically,
yeah, for sure.
They've been very good. Matthew Burke was calling plays yesterday, which is pretty interesting.
I'm confused.
I mean, D'Amico said, or D'Amico didn't say this, but Jonathan Alexander, almost a Jason Alexander, he doesn't play anymore. Jonathan Alexander in the Houston Chronicle said that he did that so he could be like more involved in the offensive side of things. So, hey, it went okay, I guess.
Isn't
good decision,
that a pretty
D'Amico?
Damning statement? If D'Amico, the guy that doesn't want to have anything to do with the offensive side, gave away play call duty so he could babysit Nick Haley?
I mean, that's an assumption that you're making. D'Amico's never said that.
I'm with Brian, though.
D'Amico's never said, I want nothing to do with offense. He says that he's involved with everything. That those are his words. That's what he said for the last three years.
They played seven. He coached the 37 games for the Texans before this. He called plays for all of them, and he suddenly decides that he doesn't want to do it anymore.
And what's funny about it too is it's not because the defense was playing poorly. Like why does a caller gives up play calling because they're not doing it good anymore? So like I'm not doing it good. Why don't you take a shot? No, that wasn't the case. It was our defense is good. I trust you, Matt Burke. Nick Kaylee Weiss, I'm not sure that I do. I'm a defensive-minded guy. I'm going to hold your hand on the offensive side of the things. No, it is damning. Yes, the answer to your question is yes. Not a great look for Nick Kaylee Weiss, but the defense didn't take any slippage. Like they didn't have any drop-off, so that's positive. Matthew Burke can call plays. D'Amico Ryans can continue to hold Nick Kaylee Weiss's hand on the offensive side of things.
Is this permanent, you think?
I think so.
Okay.
I want to kind of walk that back.
Okay.
I think it's permanent until something dictates you to do, like, go elsewhere. Like, if Burke gives up 700 yards to the Ravens next week, I think they would revert back.
Yeah, but doesn't it mean, like, his job's on the line then? Like, now that you've handed him this responsibility, if it doesn't go well at some point, you're going to take it away from him? That feels like a tough process to go through. Because, honestly, if the plan, honestly, for this week was the Titans are awful, I'm going to focus on the offense this week and let Matt Burke, I'm going to treat this like a preseason game. I think that's a great idea, frankly. So just be like, we don't really care about this team. We know we're going to beat them. We trust Matt Burke to call the plays. I'm going to take it back to D'Amico Ryans for the Ravens game. I would understand that thought process if this was like a well-thought-out plan.
You can't do that after you shut out a team. You can't be like, here you go, Matthew Burke. We don't have any faith that the Titans can beat us. We're going to give you play calling, and then the moment that you pitch a shutout, I'm going to take it right back.
Yeah, but like they're closer. They're closer to Miami, the Hurricanes, than they are the Ravens.
No,
they're awful.
Not the depleted Ravens.
They are awful. The Titans are awful.
What do you think?
I mean, we're keeping a book right now. We ass.
I love Cam Ward that he said that.
Yeah,
he's up my power rankings right now. Not a good quarterback, but my likability power rankings. My likability power rankings. I'm like, I like a quarterback who's that honest.
So do you think D'Amico's giving this away?
Yes.
No, I don't. But if that was the plan, I would understand why they did it. I think it's like what you guys said. It's very damning of Nick Kaylee for D'Amico to in this situation. I mean, last year when Bobby Slowick was struggling throughout the entire year to make adjustments, and then He didn't do this once last year. That the fourth game of Nick Cayley's career, calling plays. DeMeco is pulling a Nick Caserio basically with David Culley and being like, I got to be on the headset and know what's going on.
I know, like, analytics has those things out there.
It's not great. It's not a good look for Nick Cayley, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Now, it's not unusual for head coaches to be like, hey, you know, I'm going to oversee the entire process, but the timing of it is sus. I'll give you that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Get your thoughts on the first Texans win of the season. Rock and roll. We'll get into some Astro stuff, sadly, a little bit later. Astro stuff. Poor Astros. NFL week 4 was fun. Lots going on. We'll discuss that. And, of course, a great weekend in college football. 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok. Bang, bang. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok because somebody else stole my name. On Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Let's discuss this offense a little bit in greater detail. Also, the C.J. Stroud, what do we think? Is he back on track? Is he again a top 5 quarterback? I'm kidding, somewhat. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. As you know, football season is in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all the time. You're in Texas, and Texas is the best place to make picks and win money on Underdog, at least in my opinion. Playing Underdog is so easy. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and much, much more. Also on Underdog, you can pick teams on Underdog. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. And because I love you, they're giving you $100 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's right. Just download the app, plug in promo code KILLERB, and you got 2 Monday night games to take a look at today. Underdog loves you a lot again, and they're giving you a Bo Nix free play, so take advantage of that. Jamar Chase, 66.5 receiving yards. You like the higher or the lower there? Cortland Sutton, 65.5 receiving yards. You like the higher or lower there? Joe Burrow's younger brother, the Browning kid, passing yards, 221.5, higher or lower there? Do you know ball? Go on Underdog and prove it. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score a $100 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Rocco Baldelli out as manager in Minnesota. Bob Melvin out in San Fran. Mendoza staying with the Mets. Are we on manager watch? Jeff Passan says others to keep an eye on: Bruce Bochy in Texas. He might go to San Fran. Brian Snitker in Atlanta. Joe Espada in Houston. Are we on manager watch? We'll discuss that a little bit later. But
you know, the back of his baseball card.
If anything goes down there, we'll let you know. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the Stroud part of the yesterday's game in a moment. Texture, do you think the Texans win if Lamar doesn't play Sunday?
Yes.
I do, too. Well, it's not just Lamar. It's Lamar and all of the other defensive players that are, like, lost for the year or lost for multiple weeks. So it's not just Lamar. It's Lamar and all of the other injuries. So I actually think that they'll be favored if Lamar is ruled out, which sounds nuts, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound nuts?
It does. And if they're not favored, I think it'll be a really close line.
Sure. Like a 1.5, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like a – I don't think it'll even be a field goal. If they're not favored, it'll be tight.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Junkie texting in, what if this was Caserio saying, I need you more involved in the offense?
I'm fine with that. If Nick Caserio is the one who's saying, DeMeco, like, this is where you have to step in here a little bit, I'm okay with that.
I'm not really okay with it, to be honest.
Why?
Well, I don't want Caserio telling DeMeco what to do, quite frankly. like D'Amico, that's D'Amico's area. Kasari, you go build the roster poorly. You go build the roster. I'm going to worry about my 53 and my coaching staff. Like that
just
to me.
Just keep asking good questions.
That to me is the general manager meddling too much.
Yeah, I can see that, but it's I think that from the way they portray it, is they have a very you know cohesive work environment. That's the right way to put it. Where like they're working together in lockstep, all these things. So I don't think it would be a demand if Casario did it. I guess the way the texter asked it, I think it'd be more of a, hey, maybe we should have you a little bit more involved, D'Amico. How do you feel about this? And I'm assuming D'Amico would sign off on it. But my guess is it probably was just his idea.
I would think so. Junkie could be wrong, but I believe he called plays in the preseason, Burke, as well, so D'Amico could focus on the team as a whole in anticipation of doing this. A lot of play callers will allow the coordinator on their side of the ball that doesn't call play to call plays in the preseason just for like an experience thing. I don't know if D'Amico did it because he was anticipating doing this. Maybe it was like, okay, if we need to do this, I want to know what it looks like. But Burke has called plays before. So I don't know if he did it in anticipation of this, more as this is kind of what NFL play callers do that are head coaches. Head coaches that play call a lot of times will do this in the preseason as like an audition for other teams, really. So I don't know if that's correlated.
Yeah, I think it's just the way it's the way the process works in the NFL. We see it all the time.
Yeah. Rocky, I trust D'Amico as head coach. If he has a DC and veteran OC – I think he just meant veteran OC, and then he mentions a couple of guys as new general manager. Probably not the time for that. I pivoted from Chargers to Texans in my Survivor League. Never a doubt. That was clutch. That was very clutch. Lost to the Giants.
I don't know if never a doubt is a
never
is
a doubt.
How I would put it though.
Never a doubt at the half when it was 6-0.
Yeah.
I trust the running game more now than I did Saturday. I'll take Woody over Chubb any day. Woody looks good, man. Woody looks good. A couple touchdowns. The run specifically. I actually thought Kaylee schemed up something pretty nicely on the receiving touchdown. Like got him open in the flat, catch the ball, space, speed, touchdown. The run, though, the little cuts, that was nasty.
He's really impressive. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's the most positive thing from the game yesterday. Like, even though CJ has good moments. What Woody did in the game yesterday, I think it's almost a clear, running back one at this point for me. Who should get the ball more often? Who should be on the field more? And he's got that twitch that you're mm-hmm. looking for. I know, like, is it too early for the Bucky Irving thing? Maybe, but like, there's some excitement to it. I mean, I'm looking at just some of the highlights here on Twitter as you're talking, and the one that I remembered was I can't tell if it's a safety or a corner that's blitzing off the edge and he just plants him and puts him on the ground. He's good in the backfield at pretty much everything you need him to do right now.
Yeah. I mean, he outsnapped Chubb 40-30. So, like, he didn't start the game. I don't really care who starts the game. But I do think that as time goes by, that it becomes a bigger ratio for Marks. I think it was like 80-20 in week one. Like, so Marks is already, the fact that he's already jumped him, I think it's going to continue trending in that direction. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jesse, you're in the junkyard. What's up, Jesse?
Yeah, so I just wanted to make a comment on Woody. I'm very cautiously optimistic. Maybe not so cautiously, but I think what I like about him is that it seems like he doesn't feel like he has to go through the hole that the call played for. Looks like he's reading where he thinks the opportunity is. But I am a little worried that, like, that could get him in trouble, if he doesn't hit the hole hard enough. Obviously we all liked what we saw yesterday. But I want to get y'all's opinion on this as well, because there's actually a couple plays there where, like, he actually had really good holes to run through. And I'm just curious if y'all agree with it, but it seems like sometimes the offensive line, if they think that they have a good running back, like somehow they play better and they provide those holes. Because Woody obviously did the work, but he had a couple good holes to run through as well. So anyway, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's this is where you are playing the Titans, like a defense. Now, they've got a decent defensive line. So, like, I think the offensive line did a good job opening some holes for Woody, but he just found them, like, when he needed to. I think it's a good point where, like, he can go elsewhere if he needs to as well. So like he doesn't need a perfect hole to have success, but he's able to identify what's in front of him on the defense. That's where it's encouraging where he's at already. Like we've seen a guy like Ashton Jeanty, it's taken him 4 weeks to have success and find, you know, what an NFL hole looks like and not, you know, going in the wrong direction. Where Woody, through all the games so far, when he's had his limited opportunities, has shown signs to where like he looks like he has an idea of what's happening in front of him and has the mindset to where he can be a successful running back for this team.
Can Nick Kaley scheme up a running attack? 713-780-3776. I say that in jest a little bit. I do think that the Texans' offensive line is better this year at run blocking for whatever reason. Like, it's probably scheme. It's probably offensive line coaching. It's a totally different scheme than they were running last year. But you have some road graders in the middle. Like, Ed Ingram can run block. I think that they're actually a better run-blocking offensive line than they are a pass-blocking offensive line. It's why I like them being pretty pretty even on the ground and through the air yesterday. Because remember week three, which was a close game, they threw it, like, twice as much as they ran it. And they had success running it. Yesterday they were 50-50 at the half. They ended up running it more than they threw it. Game script dictated that because you had a multi-possession lead there in the fourth quarter. But no, I think that the running attack is okay. Do I think an offensive line will run block better if they believe in the running back a little bit more? Yeah, I think that that's fair. Like, they trust it, right? So if you trust it, it's like, okay, well, if we open up something, we have a running back we can trust, we're going to look good. I think there could be something to that. I don't think that's out of bounds.
And also, go ahead, Ryan.
I mean, it couldn't just also be that a better running back with better vision, maybe not better vision. Chubb has, I think his vision's fine.
Yeah, but they weren't better than Mixon, you know? Like, Mixon was good.
Sure, but the point I was getting to was, like, a running back like Marks, who's still young and spry and has bursts, is going to make whatever holes are there or not there look better than Chubb would, just because he's getting to and through it much quicker than Chubb was. So, I mean, we not to be totally cliche, we know that holes for running backs, you know, open and close in a millisecond in the NFL. So, the difference between the burst that Marks has and Chubb has could be the difference between looking like they're opening holes and looking like they're not opening holes.
Yeah, like, and Jeremy, to your point, like what you said too, as well, with what Brian just said is, I know in jest a little bit, like, can Nick Kaley, you know, scheme a running game open? We don't know the answer to that question because Nick Chubb's been his running back. Like, this is a better example, most likely going forward, of what this offense could look like with an actual, like, a running back with some switch and some burst, you know, not just a Nick Chubb guy who can only go straight contact.
I mean, yesterday wasn't Woody Mark's first carry, though. Like, no. I feel like you're being a little hyperbolic there.
Well, they don't play rookies.
I mean, he played before yesterday.
But like, now, barely.
Other than week one. Like, week one, he barely played. But week two and three, he played.
He didn't have a lot of carries.
He was like 40% carry. I think he was 40% snaps by week two.
He had 12 carries going into yesterday's game. Yesterday he had 17. So, like, it was pretty even-ish weeks one through three and then week 14 alone. So we've seen the burst, which I think goes to your point about what you were saying a little bit earlier. Like, what took so long?
I don't get it. Like I don't know what that's where it feels like there's some of the Patriots – it's hard not to make these leaps of where, well, the Patriots didn't play young guys. Like, you had to, like, really earn your spots on the roster. So, like, why is it taking him so long when it seems pretty evident that he was a better pass blocker than Dario Gumbawale, that he's got more twitch than Nick Chubb? Why is it taking till week four?
It's probably trust. It's probably, like, you know, I think so, too. But, like, why did it take up until week four as opposed to weeks one through three? It's probably, like, do I know the plays? Do I know where to be at? And I know they know the plays. But do I know where to be in every single moment? This is a more complex offense than, like, West Coast offenses. Way more complex of an offense than a Slowick offense. So I bet you it's that. I bet you it's, is this guy always at the appropriate spot when we need him to be in that spot? And, you know, in football, if you have one guy that's not in that appropriate spot, play over. Mm-hmm. So I would bet it's that.
And it makes sense, but at least it's finally here. Like that's the most positive thing. At least it's finally here, and I think we're all assuming it's going to continue like this. I'd be shocked if the Ravens game comes up this weekend and all of a sudden it carries back to, you know, averaging
that would be very frustrating.
That would be disappointing if they did that.
I would be stunned if that were the case.
I mean, Ross Tucker made this point during the broadcast, not that we all didn't see it with our own eyes when the play happened, but a lot of the times a rookie can earn, running back specifically, that trust by showing he can stand up and pass pro. And I forget the Titans DB. It doesn't matter what his name is. But he absolutely laid out a Titans DB coming in as a free blitzer on one of those plays. So I think he's starting to show that he can be trusted in those situations. They don't necessarily need to take him off the field for the veteran on third down or obvious passing situations.
No, you're right. I think he did earn trust yesterday for sure. Yesterday, he and Chubb combined for 30 carries. Because there's somebody in the Twitch here. Or is it the YouTube? I don't know. I lost recently. Oh, it's Kugblaze. Get Nick out of here. There's a new Woody in town. If they combine for 30 carries, what do you want the split to be?
20-10? Yeah, I was going to say 20-10.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. Like, I think Chubb showed a little bit too. Like, I don't mind him in short yardage. I don't want him to be the bell cow. I want him to touch it 10 times max. But I'd go 20-10 too. I'd be happy with that.
And honestly, even if it would have was yesterday, I think if it's 17-13, I'm okay with that too. I'd like it to be a little more Woody, but like if it's closer to a 50-50 split with Woody just getting a couple more carries, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be, you know, I'm not gonna be upset if it's not exactly a 20-10, but I think trending in that direction like they did yesterday, that's the overall big picture.
I think I'd be upset. I want to see a 2-1 carry ratio between Woody Marks and Nick Chubb. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the Stroud part of this conversation. D'Amico Ryan said it's the best game that CJ Stroud played this season. Do you agree? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
75 on Twitch says, y'all really believe this team is good. I don't know what gave you that impression.
It's always fun to win.
No one said that the Texans are good.
Bad ears. Bad ears over there.
Bad ears. You started the show with, I don't feel any different. I said to give them credit for a blowout win, but I still have zero trust for them. So You gotta listen, 75. You gotta listen a little closer. Although I think I know what you're doing. 713-780-3776. D'Amico said that this was CJ Stroud's best game of the year. 22 of 28, 233 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, sacked twice, one of them in 2.09 seconds. 76.5 QBR, 125.1 QB rating. Do you agree? Well, that's an easy question, I think. But do you agree with D'Amico? Where are you with CJ after this performance?
It was his best game of the season, but again, it's a low bar to get there. I mean, he looked much more comfortable in the pocket. Obviously, the completion percentage is very good. The yards per completion is good. 2 touchdowns for the first time in forever. At this point, it feels like. So, yeah, it was his best game of the season. Frankly, it feels like his best game in a while. And that's where, at the end of the day, it's what you expect against a team like the Tennessee Titans that is bad collectively and should be firing their head coach any minute now. I mean, I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet. So, I think it is the best game of the season for CJ. And there are things over the last 2 weeks that show, you know, progress in this offense. So, again, it's baby steps. But it's not anything to, you know, jump over the moon about, I would say.
Yeah. I liked what I saw from him. I thought he was making the easy decisions, the simple throws. And does a bad defense help that? Yes. So, like, yeah, you want to see him do it against a good defense. Totally understand. Like, I'm not elevating CJ Stroud based on what I saw yesterday. I think it's more of a, okay, he's still capable of being a good quarterback, more so than, there it is, look, he's good, I told you. You know what I mean? Like, it's more about the possibility of him still being good versus that was like a defining moment where he proves he's one of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the NFL. Best game of the season, yes. are we putting him back into the upper echelon of QBs in the NFL because he looks solid against the Titans? Absolutely not. But some of the things along the way that I was very encouraged about, he looked better pre-snap. Mentioned after the game, he got the Texans into the play that led to the Jaden Higgins touchdown. He also missed an easy touchdown pass in the first half, like a very easy touchdown pass in the first half, which can be a good or a bad. I mean, I'd rather you miss the easy touchdown passes in a game that you win by 26. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it was there. So it's like, okay, well, like, it's there. That's encouraging. I thought he was very good at making the smart play. Tom Brady talks about this all the time whenever he played. He said, you know, football and quarterbacking is not a game of hitting home runs all the time. It's taking the singles. It's taking the singles. And it's why I actually like what he said after the game, where C.J. Stroud said afterwards that it's an offense where it's like a death by a thousand cuts. Okay, like that to me is the right mindset. Okay, we're not going to take shot plays all the time. We need to be smart about having these long drives. We're moving the chains. You know that they're going to play a lot of cover two on you and shell coverages where they're trying to take away the big play. And if you refuse to take what they're giving you, they're going to do it the entire game. I think that's why he's been in this long slump, quite frankly, is because they're sitting there in shell coverage. They're sitting there in cover two saying, dink and dunk us to death, CJ. Dink and dunk us to death. And CJ's kind of refused to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday he did it. And it's like, okay, all right. And then something pops. Something opens up. So I think we actually need to see more of that if this Houston Texans offense is going to be any good.
Yeah, I mean, think about what we went through last year when, you know, people were going on television and demanding that we eliminate that coverage in the NFL because it's made the NFL boring. Like that's how Patrick Mahomes has had to adjust. He's lost the ability because of the way these defenses are covering him to have the deep ball success that he was having early on with Tyreek Hill, and now they have to pivot. And when they have a shot, they take it. And that's what the Texans have to do. So that's a step in the right direction because I do feel like he has for too long been looking for the boom plays, and that's led to the sacks, and that doesn't work when you have this offensive line and you have, you know, again, I agree with you, Jeremy. It was better yesterday for sure. But if you're always looking for the deep shots in this offense or behind this offensive line, you're going to end up on your back more than anything. So yesterday is a step in the right direction of go, sure, 1,000 cuts, give it to them. Like if they're going to give you easy stuff, then take it. And I think that's what we've all been asking for so far to start the season is where's the easy button stuff? It's been missing from this offense. So the fact that they're finally starting to use some of that, that can be where you can look through the entire season, say there's actual progression happening, and maybe Nick Caley's growing up a little bit as a play caller.
Yeah, I was encouraged with what Stroud gave you. You know, he was stepping into the pocket. Mm-hmm. He wasn't getting happy footed. He took some abuse in that first half. I was a little worried that he wasn't going to get out of that game healthy. But was making the easy plays. Make the easy plays, man. Keep everything on schedule. Death by 1,000 cuts is okay as long as it ends in the imminent death of your opponent, right? Like, it's how you win football games in the NFL. So it was encouraging. Obviously, you're going to have to do it against teams that are better than the Titans. We all know that. But it's better than losing to the Titans and looking inept on offense. Kind of like you did in the first half. So
because that's the other side. The first half was awful. It should have been 6-6 at the half if Joey Sly could kick a field goal. If Kaimi makes a field goal, you're leading 9-6, going into the fourth quarter. So it still was not pretty for three quarters. And that's where, you know, it is encouraging, but again, I think it would feel better if they did it throughout four quarters instead of all in one.
But even if they did, we still have the same conversation today. It'd still be,
I agree,
cool, baby step, let's see it against a top half defense in the NFL. And then whenever they do it against, if they do it against a top half defense in the NFL, they're gonna say, okay, go do it against the top 10. And then incrementally better and better. So baby step,
yeah,
in the right direction.
But even for me, it's
a long
way
to go.
Just do it again next week because the Ravens are not going to be a top five defense in the NFL. No. They obviously haven't been. They've been getting burned left and right. I expect the Texans offense to have success next week no matter what because the Chiefs offense has looked dreadful so far this season until yesterday.
Yeah, I can't go as far to say that I expect it because I still don't trust this offense. So I don't expect it per se. It's more if they don't pass this test against a bad Baltimore defense with a bunch of injuries, then it reverts back to the conversation we were having in the first 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So do I trust them? No, I can't. I can't trust them because they've looked really bad for 3.5 games, and they only looked good for a half against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So I don't expect it. I don't trust them to. But it's kind of like they better, because if they don't, then we're going to have the conversations we've been having the first 3 weeks and even at halftime yesterday. 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts on Stroud. Also, look, we do this all the time. I think it's important to do this. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. Where are some areas that you weren't happy with, that you thought were quite frankly unacceptable? Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The boys are headed back to Le Bourget in Lake Charles to hang out at ESPN Bet. We will be there October 25th and October 26th for shows on Saturday and Sunday. Myself, Brian, and Sean Mapes will be hanging out with you from noon to 2 on Saturday, 10 to noon on Sunday for some weekend shows inside the sportsbook. They got a brand new chef, a new VIP fan cave section that's available for bookings, new menu items along with the new chef, and the restaurant is now available to all ages. It's in a fantastic spot to watch all the college football action, all the NFL, and honestly, and even though the Astros aren't in the playoffs, it's a good time to go watch the playoffs as well that start tomorrow. All of your NFL action on the TVs in front of you on Sunday is a can't-miss environment for watching football. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. Texans won, yay. 1-3, yay. A couple of 1-3 teams battling it out in Baltimore coming up Sunday. See what the latest is in Lamar as the week goes. But what are you not ignoring in victory, which you wouldn't in defeat? 713-780-3776. What about you, Joseph?
I want to talk about, we'll start with the defense for me. Even though they shut out the Titans, they only had one sack going into the fourth quarter. I felt like the pressure was not as much as I would have liked. Maybe that's being picky a little bit, but honestly, the defense was so good. I wanted to find something to critique them on. I would like to see a little more pressure. I don't know what the final numbers ended up being.
I think it was like astronomically high.
I just feel like it wasn't. I just didn't feel it. Like,
let me find it.
I just felt like in the first half, it wasn't as much as. I guess I'm being extra picky with the defense. I want to find something to not ignore in victory because they were so good. So I want to find something to pick on them a little bit. I would like to get to Cam Ward just a little bit more. They only have 5 quarterback hits on the game, 2 sacks. So like their pressure was there, but the finishing on the play, I would have liked to see more of in this game because, frankly, the rest of it's all in the offense.
You want to give a time specifically, like a percentage? I mean,
a percentage of pressure?
Yeah.
Like 35%? Am I low?
Cam Ward was pressured on 46.7% of his dropbacks against the Texans, a season-high rate for the Texans, and the second-most pressure Ward has faced so far in his NFL career.
Right, you can put me on Bad Tick Boulevard.
Made the list!
The Texans generated pressure on 37.5% of dropbacks when sending 4 or fewer rushers. So they hit your number with 4 or fewer rushers alone.
I didn't feel like that much to me. I guess my eyes were deceiving me in this game.
Yeah, they got the Ward a little bit. Ward did, I guess, a decent job of like escaping some. I mean, he only sacked twice. You know, that was the same amount as Stroud. So to be sacked twice after facing 46% pressure, I guess is good for Ward. To be honest, like you're not going to be able to put up any numbers, but at least he's getting rid of the football and not taking a bunch of sacks. So
yeah,
I'll give him credit there.
Yeah, 10 for 26 isn't exactly a great day for a quarterback.
If you're getting pressured half the time.
I know we're not ignoring about the Texans, but man, Cam Ward looked bad. Like some of his sidearm mechanics, he was scattershotting. I mean, wasn't Anthony Richardson bad, but he was scattershotting just passes everywhere with some of his sidearm throws.
They're just so bad, though. Like, it's hard to get any sort of a impression on what Cam Ward is because they're so bad. Like, he looked okay on that first drive. Like, he got away from some pressure, made a against the grain throw 40 yards downfield, got him into Texans territory. Like, I don't know what to make of Cam Ward just because their team is so bad. I thought Calvin Ridley was going to be good this year, too, and he's, like, non-existent.
He had, what, 2 catches yesterday, I think?
Yeah. Like, did he get hurt? Like, he wasn't playing in the fourth quarter.
I didn't remember seeing him get hurt. Really, the only Titan that played well was Pollard.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much end of sentence.
And Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay,
Jeffrey Simmons, I'm
talking offensive side, but you're right.
He's so good, Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons would be so perfect for a D'Amico Ryan defense. Like, he would be insane. For me, first half offense was atrocious. Yep. Like, yeah, that was not good. The Titans almost had as many halftime yards as the Texans. But then the Titans had like 30-something yards in the second half, and the Texans exploded. But that first half offense was equally as bad as what we saw the first 3 weeks. Nitpicky, very nitpicky of me, but they allowed Tony Pollard to a 4.5 yard per carry. Like, I do think that this defense can get it a little bit up the middle. We saw it with Tampa Bay. Like, they like to do those little, like, wide gap stuff. They do the 9-tech with some of their edge rushers, mostly in pass rush situations. But I think you can run on the middle of this defense. And even Tony Pollard and even a bad Titans offense were able to. So, like, that stood out to me. The Jeffrey Simmons sack in 2.09 seconds. Like, that is unacceptable. I put that mostly on Kaylee because, like, why in the world are you trying to wham block Jeffrey Simmons? And then secondly, the timing was so bad on it that you're allowing Jeffrey Simmons a free rush on your franchise quarterback because, A, you called it, and, B, you couldn't execute it.
Have you guys, beyond it being Jeffrey Simmons, one of the best players at his position, have you guys ever seen a wham block on a guy lined up right over the center?
I'm sure that I have,
like,
but we just don't realize it because it's not
on,
bad.
Like an outside linebacker, a defensive end, you leave them uncovered, the tight end comes across and picks them up. You see that all the time.
Yeah, but you're never going to see it unless it goes bad.
I guess. I just don't remember ever seeing, because the timing of that would have to be so impeccably perfect. He's standing right over the ball.
I don't think the timing on it's that hard.
Like, Dalton Schultz
looked like it yesterday.
Dalton looks like he's walking.
He looks like he's walking to Jeffrey Simmons
on the play.
The timing, we've seen the Texans screw up those times. I think that's why they don't run a whole lot of motion. Mm-hmm. It's because Nick Caley's like, we can't do it. Like, because remember last week when they ran the jet sweep and they literally didn't snap it in time, and I think it was Noel was already past the play, and Stroud had to, like, you know, middle infield flip it over to him. Like, they have proven time and time again that their timing is terrible. It might be a Stroud thing. It might be a CJ thing.
But even that play, like, if you rewatch it, he's not the only guy. The edge rusher is not touched by Titus Howard. Like, the tackle and the guard go in. There's two guys in the backfield as soon as the ball is snapped. So there's, like, it's a full breakdown.
Yeah, you're not whamming
on
two defensive linemen.
Yeah, but sometimes you leave a guy unblocked is a way to.
Two of them, though?
Yeah, well, two of them weren't supposed to be unblocked. One of them was.
That's the point.
But
yeah.
A lot of times, I mean, you'll let a guy in to kind of, like, you know, misguide what you're doing, and then either roll out the opposite way or even towards him, like, because they overcommit. Like, you do see that.
Yeah, because who knows what that play is? That could have been a play action pass for all we know.
Yeah, I'm sure that it was supposed to be. My guess is it probably should have been a rollout to the right, and maybe if it was the defensive end over Titus, so it was on the right side of the offensive line. You're probably trying to bait the defensive end to attack, like, where you think Stroud's going to be if he's dropping back, and you roll out that way. That would be my guess because you're kind of misdirectioning everything, but. I don't know. Like, the play was blown up in 2.09 seconds, so I have no idea. Stroud was banged up. You don't want your quarterback to get hurt ever. You don't want him to be rolling on the pain, screaming, and, you know, on the field in pain, screaming, blah, 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 blah. And then Fairbairn missing kicks at home. Like, this might be for Kyme Fairbairn, this is the ideal place for you to kick because this is your home. You kick here all the time. It's indoors. You shouldn't be missing kicks at home. I know it was a 50-something yarder. Do not care. You should be making those, Kyme Fairbairn.
Yeah, he's at, what, 80% now on the seasons, which, I mean, I guess it's tied for 19th in the NFL.
That's not a great number in today's NFL.
Yeah, it's not.
He's missed two, one last week and one this week.
Is this all John Weeks being gone?
I have noticed. I didn't notice in this game.
You mentioned
that
it last week.
Yeah. Last week I did notice that Brinkman had some bad snaps. I haven't watched the All-22 yet, but Brinkman last week had some bad snaps. I didn't notice it on the game copy, though. I didn't notice bad snaps on the game copy.
So it might just be Kyme missing kicks.
I'll look at it closely. I'm unsure. Brian, do you have any don't ignore in victories?
Yeah, I mean, some of what you guys mentioned in the last segment, specifically in the first half where CJ had Dalton Schultz wide open and just sailed it over his head by about 5 yards. That should have been a walk-in touchdown. Obviously can't have that. You mentioned the Jeffrey Simmons thing. There was another play, because we always talk about when Stroud gets hit or gets sacked, like whose fault was it? Was it the offensive lineman? Was it the scheme? Was it the quarterback? Guys not getting open, whatever. And there was a play yesterday, I don't remember exactly what part of the game, but it was in my notes, where Woody Marks was just kind of, he ran like came out of the backfield, like ran 5 yards, turned around and stopped, and Stroud was looking at him, pump faked the ball to him, for some reason didn't let it go, pulled it back, and held on to the ball and eventually took a sack when he could have just dumped it off to Woody Marks and lived to play the next down. So,
or even throwing it at his feet.
Exactly. Because Ross Tucker on the broadcast made the point. It's like, oh, well, the defender closes. But if he lets it go initially, there's no way the defender can make the play of the ball. The defender only got there because of the pump fake. So you're right, though. At the very least, throw it at his feet and live to play another down. But I thought on that play specifically, he caused the sack.
Yeah, I mostly agree. I thought he could have at least threw it at his feet. I know you guys are nitpicking right now, but the punts and punt coverage was excellent. Townsend had one punt that's like should have been a coffin corner that I think he like punted it out of bounds at the 25. The one he had at the end of the game was brilliant, though. So like he kind of made up for it. Punt coverage was good. Noel had a solid game. I think that Noel – I've noticed – have you noticed that Noel kind of hesitates when he catches the football?
Yes, but
punts.
I don't
catch his punts.
Yeah, I don't know if he like is overthinking it a little bit, but he doesn't seem to be as fluid back there, I think, as you'd want your punt returner to be.
I think it's more like, okay, I'm going to identify where I want to run, like where is the blocking, where is it at, versus like, you know, pussyfooting around there or like being too hesitant. Like, I think it's okay, I'm going to evaluate where I need to run. But you don't see that from a lot of punt returners. Usually it's catch, go.
And run.
He's catch, see, go, which hadn't hurt him yet, so I don't want to nitpick too much. Texture Bow, my supervisor thinks Mixon accidentally shot himself in the foot. Kind of makes sense with the Texans wanting to keep this a private matter. Thoughts on this theory?
Explosives. You can run.
I have no idea.
No comment. I have no idea.
I mean, I would think that it wouldn't happen. I feel like that's a long shot. Josh from Seabrook, not ignoring a victory or winning a defeat. The Texans are finally using the young guys. That's really a positive, though.
But it's almost in a way, it's like, why didn't you do it earlier?
Yeah. I mean, we already discussed. No Astros talk today. That's coming up a little bit later. They don't deserve. I mean, one team won and one team's eliminated from the playoffs the first time and it feels like forever.
I mean,
so,
they won over the weekend.
Actually, you know what? You know what, Texter? You know what? That's a great idea. We're impressionable young men. Let's talk a little Astros because you told us to. 713-780-3776. What do we make of this season? I think that they need significant change this offseason. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I think you need significant change in your car buying process. That's because you need Monument Chevrolet in your life. In fact, everybody needs Monument Chevrolet in their life. They're the dealership that you can trust. They're transparent, not going to hassle you with pricing. It's going to be a seamless transaction from the moment you step foot on their lot, which is an impressive, massive lot, by the way, or that you step into their showroom. They are the dealership you can trust, which is an admirable quality because you can't say that about a lot of dealerships. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 5 decades. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and they keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel, friendly atmosphere. The culture is great because they hire great people. The vehicle of the week, the EV Equinox. If you're looking for a sleek, modern ride with a quiet, roomy interior, look no further than the EV Equinox. An electric engine. This vehicle is going to save you tons on maintenance and fuel costs. It's got a range of over 320 miles. It's nearly identical to its gas-powered counterpart. And who needs gas stations when you can plug that baby in each night and be ready to go the next morning? These cars are great commuter vehicles, great family haulers. If you purchase one before September 30th, you still qualify for the EV tax credit of up to $7,500. So act fast. Get a fair deal, an easy deal over at Monument Chevrolet. No tricks, no time wasting. Head over to Monument Chevrolet 225 and Bellway 8 to check out their full inventory or visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. Monumentchevrolet.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.